The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It does not sound like the Lakers are sweating the Nets' big three. If you've seen, LeBron responded to it on social media. He was crying. But that dude who does the LeBron imitations starts slipping out when he hears, what, they got James Harden? I don't think LeBron's sweating it. It's such a compliment to LeBron. Think about what's gone on in the NBA. And by the way, Charles Barkley going to Houston back in the day, same thing. It was a compliment to Jordan. Everyone knew, like, to get, you needed the Monstars to go against Jordan, even in the movies. And by the way, he still won. Even though, and that's what it felt like. It felt like, man, if you had a team with, like, Patrick Ewing and Charles Barkley and Gary Payton and Mitch Richmond and, you know, like, maybe, nah, then Jordan would still get him. Now, partly that's because Jordan had at the time Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman and Tony Kukoc. But, like, you can't give Jordan a crew and expect to win. And it's kind of the same thing with LeBron. You give him a crew, it's tough. But think about what happened with KD. The Warriors had just won 73 games. KD had just won an MVP not long before that. KD looked at LeBron, and so did the Warriors, and they're like, yo, we better join up because we can't handle this dude by ourselves. He got a couple dudes with him. We better join up. And LeBron now has AD. This is what AD had to say on the Nets' big three.
He got to one of his destinations. He wanted to play there. We'll see how it go. I mean, you know, KD and James played together in OKC. Then you had another guy, Kyrie. You know, lost some key players. You know, Jared Allen, Caris LeVert. But, you know, it looked good on paper. And we'll see, you know, how it goes when those guys, you know, get in between the lines and get a chance to play alongside each other.
You know, I would actually say the Dinwiddie injury was responsible for this. I think if Dinwiddie never gets hurt, and I think eventually the lineup would have been Kyrie with LeVert and Joe Harris, KD and Jared Allen, right? That's your starting five to me with Dinwiddie running your second unit, although they were messing with LeVert off the bench. You know, your five best players, Dinwiddie would maybe be starting, but the way, and I think that team, because it had more depth, would have been a better balanced team to go against the Lakers. I think they would have gotten out of the East, and they would have given the Lakers a tougher time. Once Dinwiddie got hurt, the depth got thinned out a little bit. Now what do? You would think, okay, so we need to add a guy. Actually, I think the Nets were correct in their assessment. The best way to deal with the fact that now we don't have Dinwiddie, we got to add a super piece. So they got thinned out even more, turning LeVert and Allen into, and a million draft picks, into James Harden. So now you don't have Dinwiddie or LeVert or Jared Allen, half your best players, but you got James Harden. And I see why LeBron and AD are confident they should win. If the Nets even get to the finals, I'll just point out, how do you defend this Nets team if they play together the right way? How do you defend them? James Harden can take you off the dribble, can pass the ball, set up teammates, can rebound, by the way, can defend in the post. But offensively, he can get his step back three whenever he wants, hits it at a real good clip, can get to the painted area when he wants, hits great at hitting free throws. KD can get any shot he wants whenever he wants it and is as good as anyone ever just about at hitting them, any level of the, you know, all three levels, from the outside, mid-range, in the paint. He's also become an excellent passer. And Kyrie can get any shot he wants. He's the best handles ever. Can bomb from the outside. Better three-point shooter than Harden. Better free throw shooter than Harden, too. Can really shoot the ball. And obviously, he's a point guard. Can pass the ball when he wants to. He's an excellent passer. All three of those guys, just impossible. And then they have Joe Harris. Understand, when you get a three-point shooter or a 3-and-D guy or just like the guy who's supposed to shoot the spot-up shot, if he can do a few other things other than just shoot, that's a bonus. But the question is, how does he shoot? Joe Harris ain't a tiny guy like Seth Curry, right? Joe Harris can shoot the ever-loving lights out. How do you defend this team? Raj has a question.
But Max, I think you're ignoring something. It's something AD said. All that sounds great on paper, but what about chemistry?
Yeah, I agree.
The disruptor of chemistry. Everywhere he's going, Kyrie Irving, Now you're adding Harden, who just disrupted chemistry, and Houston, who you saw one last night without him. What about that?
Sometimes that's a legitimate concern, and maybe it all blows up or implodes, whatever. Sometimes when guys are aware of what their reputations are and are aware that people are pointing to evidence that actually exists and also like each other, they'll do what it takes. You know, look, by the way, we had questions about Boston, right? When they put their big three together, Paul Pierce, he's having Ray Allen join him, and Kevin Garnett. How's that going to work? They won a championship as soon as they got together. Big threes, especially in the absence of another big three in the league, tough to keep them at least out of the finals. But you're right. They got real concerns. The Nets got real concerns. I'm just saying, once upon a time, as I said yesterday, Walt Clyde Frazier, who'd already won a championship with the Knicks, had to share his backcourt with Earl the Pearl Monroe from the rival Baltimore Bullets. And everyone said, there's only one basketball. What are they going to do? What they did was they shared the ball and won a chip. Tony in Los Angeles, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, how do you feel? We finally got our guy, DJ LeMay, here. The Yankees weren't cheap, and they gave him the money. So what do you think is what's next?
I think they got a deal.
Maybe re-signing someone like Tanaka.
Yeah, they can sign some pitching now, but I would say this about the LeMahieu deal. It's 6 years, $90 million. That is a deal on a per annum basis. LeMahieu is worth way more than $90 million. He's a Gold Glove caliber second baseman who can competently play multiple infield positions, but especially when you're a Gold Glove caliber middle infielder, even if it is second base and not shortstop, tremendous value. And he is not just a great contact hitter, because in Colorado, anyone from there, you're like, well, how's he going to hit away from Coors Field? He's a great contact hitter with power now. He's a perennial MVP candidate, and 6 years is a long deal for a guy his age, but $15 million a year is a steal. You're stealing money from that guy. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Very complicated.
Richard?
Hi, Max.
Max?
Yes, Richard.
Hi, Max. Max.
That's me.
The last great American-born white basketball player was John Stockton 20 years ago.
Okay.
Do you think we will ever see someone like Jerry West, Dave DeBuscher, Kevin McHale, Larry Bird,
sure.
John Havlicek?
Yeah. The answer is yes. Of course we will.
I mean, the last player, I would say, is Kevin Love.
Out of curiosity, why do you care?
I don't care, but isn't it something to note?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, look, I would say this.
Players are foreign-born.
I would say this. First of all, there are different economic opportunities affecting that sort of thing. But I would say this. Will we ever see a great white running back? How's Christian McCaffrey? Is he good enough for you? When he was healthy, he was only clearly the best in the game, right? Like, clearly the best. I think Saquon would have been better if he would have been in a better situation. But the fact is, what happened was McCaffrey was the best. Are we going to see another, I don't know, I guess you can't say that about baseball players, but great center fielder or whatever. Mike Trout, how was that? I guess they don't say that so much about baseball players, but they say it about basketball, about football players. Running backs especially. Marcellus Wiley on Max and Marcellus back in the day used to talk about coaches making jokes. If there was a white dude in the running backs line, he'd be like, what are you doing here? Yeah, you're going to see great white running backs and cornerbacks. And by the way, you might even see another great black quarterback before you're all done. Like these, I understand why you say, like, it's not that white, it's not the same thing, because black players didn't have the chance to play quarterback, whereas white players simply aren't performing well enough to play running back. But are there white players who will perform well enough to play running back? The answer is yes. By the way, and the same thing goes for basketball. Will there be white-born American players who are great at basketball? Of course there will be. And frankly, I don't care. And that's not just me being politically correct. Like, I never, you know, like a player more because he's white or black for that matter. Or, well, if he's American-born, do I like him more? Yeah, maybe. You know, yeah, all right. I have a bias toward American players. That's true, I guess. Not that I would rate them any differently. Like, Luka may wind up being the best player in the world, and he's foreign-born and white, by the way. But you know, I'm not that interested in the question. I know some people are. RJ in North Carolina, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, Max. Who's going to have a better performance, Ramsey or Adams?
That's a great question. It's the sexiest matchup in the game. Devontae Adams, this is what I fear for Aaron Rodgers, okay? Remember when Rodgers had that one really bad game this year? It came against the Bucks, and he was on a roll before then. But Devontae Adams, to my recollection, had just gotten back from injury, and Rodgers was forcing him the ball. And it turned into turnovers, turned into interceptions. Well, when does Rodgers have multiple interceptions in a game? And they got routed. I wonder if, because Adams is his preferred target, he's the best receiver he's had. Maybe ever. Like, on a short, Jordy Nelson was great in at his best. So is Devontae Adams right now. Jalen Ramsey is so good right now. I almost feel sorry for number one receivers. And if you're going to try and force the ball to your number one guy and Ramsey's covering him, I'm not saying he's like Deion. It used to be like, I don't care if it was Jerry Rice, anyone. Don't throw the ball to the guy Deion Sanders is covering. No one's ever been that good at the position. But Ramsey's one of those guys this year that I'm going to remember. Like, Revis was a guy like that. Ramsey right now is a guy like that. Like, damn, you don't want to throw the ball in his direction. Nick in Canada, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, Max. Big fan of the show. I was just wondering. I was just going to say, with the Green Bay Packers-Rams matchup, I think people are overlooking the fact that the Packers' rushing defense isn't as good as we think, and that Cam Akers may have a really big game.
Yeah, and by the way, they have a one of their best defensive front guys is, who is it? The defensive tackle, I'm forgetting his name, is hurt. Anyway, also, Bakhtiari's hurt, and on the offensive line, and Donald is matched up with probably their weakest offensive lineman in Lucas Patrick. So they have Jenkins still on the offensive line, they have Lindsley on the offensive line, who are both good. They're both good, but if they have to help out, and now Donald's taking up an extra resource, someone else is free. That matchup, to me, I know Ramsey and Adams is the sexiest matchup. The most important one is actually how much help does Lucas Patrick need containing Aaron Donald, and are they going to give him the help? And if not, does Donald get to Rodgers? And if they do, to someone else? My guest right now, Andre Reed, Bills Hall of Fame wide receiver, on the Goodyear Hotline. Andre Reed, are you there?
What's up, Max? How are you, man? How you feeling?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man, out here in the weather's pretty hot out here in SoCal right now, so I'm enjoying that, getting ready to go play some golf a little bit later, but thanks for having me on. It's always good to talk with you and always good to listen to you and your insights, man. You do a great job, so
thank you, brother.
I love it, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Listen, one of the cool things about this job is people you watched and admired are saying, hey, it's great to talk to you. Really, me? Andre Reed likes talking to me? Okay, good. I'll take it. Hey, do you mind if I call you Dre? Hey, Andre, let me ask you this.
You got it, bro.
All right, Dre,
hey,
listen,
man, you can call me anything you want.
Trips
man.
Right off the tongue, doesn't it? Dre, let me ask you this.
You got it. You got it.
Bills Mafia. Like, Buffalo is different. The Bills are the only game in town. That town, when you talk about the best football towns, there's actually more pressure in Buffalo than in most football markets because all they got is the Bills, right? Now, Josh Allen is an MVP caliber player, but Dre, he is going up not just against Lamar Jackson, against an excellent defense. What do you see happening? Like, how does Josh Allen overcome not Lamar Jackson, but that Ravens defense?
Well, you know, Max, just by what's been going on this year and how they played, I think everything they've done this year that wasn't expected of them, they've done. They've shored up the offensive line. They protected Josh to the point where he's had, like you said, he's had an MVP year. He's broke the record for passing yards in a season for touchdowns. He still goes out there and rushes the ball, which is really important to their scheme. But one thing I think, and I've said this all year, one thing the Bills needed was a playmaker at the receiver position, and hit the home run with Stephon Diggs this year. There's no doubt about it. He led the league in yards. He led the league in catches.
And Dre, he was considered a malcontent, and Josh Allen's had nothing but good things to say about him.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think he did he want to get out of Minnesota, maybe not, but I think he got into a situation where, you said just earlier, Buffalo is the only thing in town. The Bills are the only thing in town going on there, and that's been forever, even when I played there. So those fans not only are passionate about their football team, they really know what's going on with their players. They know a lot more about their players than other cities. And I think Stephon has embraced the city. He's become the teammate that they wanted him to be, and he's made everybody else around him better. And
that, you know, Dre, that brings up something for me. That brings up something for me. I don't mean to interrupt, but so Josh Allen enters the league. He's 50% completion percentage and like a 1-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. In fact, he was even a little underwater there. I think it was like 8-to-10 or something, but a 1-to-1 ratio, give or take. Next year, it's a 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio and a 60% completion percentage. Now, I get that because you can make that leap from year one to year two. This year, it's extraordinary because he's better than a 3-to-1 touchdown interception ratio and 70%. Mm-hmm. To go to 60-to-70, that's a lot harder than 50-to-60. Is that Stephon Diggs? Is that because Stephon, not just, I mean, credit Josh Allen for his improvement, but because he has an elite offensive weapon like that?
No doubt about it, Max. I think you hit the nail on the head there. And you got to give a lot of credit to Brian Daboll. He has not only given him the keys, but he's let him start the car and let him drive it around wherever he wants to. And I think that, and this is a quarterback-driven league, no doubt about it. All the good teams got the quarterback that knows the offense, knows how to handle it, makes decisions, does this, does that. And that is a reflection, really, of the offensive coordinator and vice versa. And I think Brian Daboll has done an excellent job at letting him be Josh Allen. And he's had all that earlier, and you brought up a good point with those stats. I think he's just a better player. He's got more confidence. And you know what? The things that he did this year and the things that he did last year are definitely, you know, it's neither here nor there now. But he's not making the mistake. And if he does, he's able to come back from it because he has the players around him that can get him out of situations. And once the confidence starts, man, it's like a little bitty snowball turning into a big snowball when you're rolling it down the hill. And I think he's really embraced that. The team has embraced his confidence. And you could see on offense what they do. Now, this week, tomorrow, this is their biggest test of the year, no doubt about it. And you mentioned the Ravens are a top five defense. They're very opportunistic. They've always been under Harbaugh. They've always been an opportunistic team on defense, and they live by their defense. And that has nothing to do with what Lamar Jackson has done over the past couple of years. But they predicate their team on stopping and giving Lamar the ball and letting Lamar be Lamar. Now, what are they going to do tomorrow? You know, there's a lot of keys, and I'm sure in a lot of your shows, there's a lot of keys that you guys talk about to this about this game. And that is, it's going to be the offense defensive line. Are they able to protect Josh, and are they going to be able, when things break down on defense, to stop Lamar from running those 50, 60-yard touchdowns? So that, to me, that is the biggest key in the game. And it's always turnovers and all this, especially in these kind of games in the playoffs. But if they can do that to a point where they limit Lamar Jackson being Lamar Jackson, they definitely give them a plus to win this game even more.
Bills Hall of Fame receiver Andre Reed on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Dre, before I let you go, what's your prediction on the game? Let me just say quickly. Lamar Jackson, to me, has never had a problem beating good teams. He's had a problem choking. He got when he needed it most, the pressure got to him. But as with a lot of young players, he needed to get his feet wet, get a feel for it. And he's gotten better and better in that first half of his first playoff game. Terrible. Second half, better. Second playoff game, much better. Third playoff game, he won. He has a defense. He can complete big third downs with his arm, and he can run. Whether or not it's snowing remains to be seen. What is your prediction?
That is the key.
What is your prediction on this game? Give it to me in 30 seconds.
I got really dependent on the weather. I've been looking at the weather. I don't know. I'm sure everybody in Buffalo wants a blizzard, but I don't think that's going to happen. It's going to be cold, maybe some snow flurries, maybe a little snow. I think it's going to be a 28-21 game, and I'm picking the Bills to win this one, obviously. But this is going to be a feel-em-out game the first quarter, first two quarters. And then whether or not, again, both running games are a factor, if the weather's bad, can really be a telltale sign of what's going to happen in the game, because that definitely sets up the pass. But I got 28-21 Buffalo going to the AFC Championship.
Great. Andre Reed, ladies and gentlemen, appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks,
Browns.
Man. Thanks, Max. Appreciate
it,
brother.
Thank you very much. Can the Browns pull off the upset versus the defending champs? NFL whip around next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
All right, Max, let's get it started. L.A., this is a big one. They're kicking us off tomorrow. What you got, B?
Rams at Packers.
This is a terrific matchup. It is a great offense against a team whose defense is built to stop that offense, it seems. It's almost like they're divisional rivals, and the Rams decided, like, how are we going to answer for Aaron Rodgers? And they got it. They have two elite defenders, the greatest defensive tackle of all time, at least that I've ever seen, Aaron Donald, who's in his prime and apparently is good enough to play in terms of his injury. First time he's ever really been injured in his career, according to him. And Jalen Ramsey, who is this era's shutdown corner. Shutdown corner. You have a terrific defense designed as though it was designed to stop Aaron Rodgers versus Aaron Rodgers. Now, you're going to Green Bay. You're going to the frozen tundra in January. And your quarterback, who, by the way, is Jared Goff a great quarterback? No. But let me just say, he's been to two Pro Bowls. He was the first overall. Like, if you draft a guy one overall, and 5 years into his career, he's been to two Pro Bowls and to a Super Bowl, you would think he did pretty good.
That's
the
right.
Packers beat the Rams in a close call.
Ooh, close one. All right, let's go to the next one. We talked about this game with the Hall of Famer, Andre Reed.
Ravens at Bills.
I'm picking the upset here. I love Josh Allen. Like, Josh Allen looks like a quarterback who's becoming great before our eyes. And really a great modern quarterback in this, but who'd be great in any era. Big, strong arm, accurate down the field, good decision maker most of the time, big, strong kid, mobile, can pick up first downs with his legs, good leader, like a lot to like there, right? I just feel like it's the Lamar Jackson story, in fact, and people are sleeping on it. You know, I feel as though the issue with Lamar is that, well, you can't win unless you're a pocket passer. No one's ever won a Super Bowl playing like Lamar. Maybe if Mike Vick had Lamar Jackson's leadership abilities and kind of study habits, right, and work ethic, he would have. But Lamar Jackson is that. He's Vick 2.0 only with leadership abilities and work ethic that Vick didn't have. By Vick's own admission. You could win like that, and I think he will. I think he's over his little choking problem. I think that defense plus Lamar carries the day.
All right, let's move it on to Sunday.
Browns at Chiefs.
I think all these games are going to be close, including this one. Do you realize the Chiefs blew out the Chargers in their most recent game, end of the regular season, and blew out the Jets November 1st? Both those teams are so bad, neither one has their head coach anymore. They both fired their head coaches. In between, the Chiefs did not beat a single team by a touchdown. Always less than a touchdown. And you can score in 5 seconds, right? You score within a two-minute drill. You score, right? A touchdown. The Browns take 6 minutes to score a touchdown, let's say, running Chubb and Hunt and Mayfield making the right plays. Still 7-7. Yeah, it's still 7-7. No matter how quickly you do it, the other team gets the ball. So I think it will be a close game. And in the end, of course, I like the Chiefs. I think Mahomes makes the plays he needs to make when he needs to make them. And the Chiefs win a close game. I think all three games will be close so far.
All right. This one, I'm sure everyone's going to be watching. This is the one we've been waiting for, the Midlife Crisis Bowl.
Buccaneers at Saints.
Well, this is, listen, what's on the line for Tom Brady? Tom Brady, 20 years in the AFC East in the weakest quarterback division of all time. Never had to face a really good quarterback, ever. So every year, they had the best record, usually in the conference. They would have a bye week one. All they'd ever have to do is win a home game week two, like the second round of the playoffs. Win one home game. right? And you're in the AFC Championship game. Well, of course they were competing in a lot of Super Bowls. Now the first time Tom Brady's in a division with a single other great quarterback who's also 100 years old, he loses both games. Could you imagine if he also lost in the playoffs? What would that say about him? On the other hand, Drew Brees had a great career, but when you talk about the greatest quarterbacks of all time, his name never comes up. It was Brady and Peyton and then Rodgers, and Brees was always fourth when those guys were around. And then when Peyton went away, he was sometimes third, but then he was quickly out of the top three too, right? Got one Super Bowl win, but he's the most accurate passer of all time. He has a defense, a real defense. He has a full complement of weapons, and he has all the motivation in the world. The X factor is going to be Antonio Brown. I don't think it'll be enough, and the Saints beat the Bucs for a third time in a nail-biter. And that's it. Oh, we did all four. I think all four games are close. All four games, but I like chalk except for... Is that right? Yeah, I like Packers over Rams, close. Saints over Bucks, close. Chiefs over Browns, close. And I like the upset in Ravens-Bills. Is Urban Meyer the answer for Trevor Lawrence? Last take, next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Yep, the Jags hire Urban Meyer as head coach, and you know, the Jets hire Robert Saleh, the 49ers defensive coordinator. Who had the better hire? I actually think the Jets got the better hire, although I think the Jags did well here. Look, the Jaguars have $100 million in cap space, as Adam Schefter has pointed out many times. Have the number one overall pick, Trevor Lawrence. So if you give a great college coach, super competitive guy, knows the football obviously very well, knows like his knows how to help players, put players in a position to win. You give him a generational talent at quarterback and a ton of cap space, he should be able to do something with that team. Especially the Jaguars, which is, it's a good job, but it's not a glamour position. It's a good hire by the Jags. The only thing I'll say about Urban Meyer is he's left two programs in college. And remember, you can recruit in college. You can't really recruit in the NFL the same way. He left two programs in the lurch, scandalized. And when the going got rough, he took off. Saleh's resume is much thinner than Urban Meyer's, but not in the pro level, but I mean his football resume. But Saleh took over a job in San Fran as a defensive coordinator. He took up all over a job dead last when he took them over. The last rated defense, 32 of 32. Within 2 years, they were a top five defense. Year over year, they were top five or six. That's good, and that's at the NFL level. Jags could have done a lot worse. Maybe they could have done better also. Meantime, Saleh takes over a job with the Jets. So the Jags have the number one overall pick, Trevor Lawrence, plus $100 million in cap space. The Jets have multiple first-round picks and $70 million in cap space. It's not bad. Like, both teams seem to have hired good head coaches, and both teams are now pointed in the right direction, the Jets and the Jags. Patrick in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Quick, Patrick.
5-6-2. I think something that's being missed with the for the Rams offense is we have Whitworth, you know, the Rams have Whitworth back, and if you look at all games, the difference in the pressure defenses we're able to get was night and day.
Ding, ding, ding. That's exactly right. If we had some Langer's Deli or whatever we used to give away in L.A., Raj, I'd give this dude some giveaway. It's exactly right. Whitworth, Andrew, is the unsung hero of the Rams. When he showed up in L.A., and I wanted the Giants to sign him, when he showed up in L.A., that whole offense was transformed. And look, whenever he's been hurt, the offense doesn't look the same, and whenever he's back, they start rolling again. Whitworth is positively the unsung hero in this entire Rams era. That's a great call. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Ooh, Monday, we got some stuff to talk about. Woo, do we have some stuff to talk about.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.